Do you think you know everything there is to know about protein? You're wrong. We have the man here who does know everything there is to know about protein. I'm Dr. Paul Zalaza.
I'm Dr. Brad Weening. Welcome to Talking with Docs. We have a very special guest, Dr. Stuart Phillips from McMaster University, certainly an expert in protein metabolism. Thanks for joining us, Stuart.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Get ready to ask your questions. Put them in the comments, and we'll try and address them another day. But
and so we've done lots of videos about protein. Obviously, social media is full of videos about protein, so we're going to start just kind of the basics, what it is, how much do you need, where should you get it, does timing matter? So why does protein matter so much, Stu?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the biggest thing that people appreciate is that, you know, your muscles are made up of protein. But actually, when you look at just about every tissue in your body, it's made up of protein. I mean, right. Even bone is 40% by composition protein, it's collagen, but your skin, your heart, your, like everything literally. So, and protein turns over in our body. Right. All the structures that we have, we're regularly sort of tearing them down and then we're building them back up. And it's almost like sort of a constant maintenance of the protein structures. It's like stripping down your engine in a car and right. building it back up. So the bottom line is, you know, that process isn't 100% efficient. We lose a little bit of the amino acids, they're the building blocks. And we need to replace them. So dietary protein is how we get those amino acids. And it's literally, I say to people, you could be stuck on a desert island. And if you had fat and carbohydrate, that's just fuel. But protein is building the
structures.
You would
die. You would
die. Yeah.
Okay, so it seems important.
Yeah.
What is it? Like, what is protein for our viewers? Asking for a friend here. What is the protein molecule or the protein thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. So protein is made up of individual, what we call amino acids. Amino acids are basically the building blocks. There are 20 of them. 9 of them are what we consider to be essential amino acids. In other words, our bodies can't make them, so we need to ingest them. The other 11 we can make in various degrees. When you string these things together, they form a chain, and it's the various combinations of 20 and some sort of folding and everything else that makes proteins distinct. So, you know, we could get a muscle protein that's structural, but insulin, which is a hormone, is also a peptide chain, for example. So they're all proteins of some form or another. Some have a function in terms of being a structure. Others are signaling molecules. Others are hormones. And so, yeah, it's pretty ubiquitous in how it's used throughout the body.
Okay. And you mentioned peptide chain, and that's like a building block of an amino acid or a protein.
So when we string amino acids together, they form a peptide, and then we string a lot of them together, then it folds and sort of has a structure. That's a protein.
All right.
Okay, so we know that when we go to the store, we don't go and buy protein, right? Yeah. We buy food.
Sure.
So when we buy and then subsequently ingest the food that has protein in it, our bodies break it all down to its constituent amino acids, mm-hmm. and then we absorb it. So our body can't really tell specifically where it's coming from. Is that correct? Because I think this is lost on a lot of people.
Yeah. No, your body has literally no idea if you ingest protein from tofu as a plant source right. or chicken as an animal source. You know, your body has no ability to, oh, that was chicken protein, right. and that was, it just says, well, yeah, it doesn't say anything, but, you know, the protein goes into your stomach, gets broken down, and then we break it down even further. And effectively, when we absorb it, it's actually the building block. It's down to the amino acid right. level. So there's no distinction as far as your body is concerned. That protein came from tofu or it came from chicken or anything like that.
Your right. mouth can tell, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
You put a chunk of tofu versus and a chicken wing in yeah. front of
me. Paul's a big fan of chicken wings.
Touche. No, you can definitely, there are some differences. Yeah, I think, fair enough.
And I think one of the things that's so important that we acknowledge, and that's why we have to talk about how much we need every day, is that we can't really store it. Like, obviously, there are stores of protein within our muscle and our tissues, but not usable stores like fat or like glycogen or carbohydrates. So can you talk a little bit about why we need...
Which is a shame, because can you imagine? Oh. Why is his bicep so big? Yeah. He's just storing protein.
That's
you're
right.
just stocking,
as opposed to
stocking
having
it
a
away.
Gut,
wing
have, like, glutes. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. So we can talk about why we need it kind of every day and why we need to think about kind of the types or the qualities of protein that we have.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, you touched on the key, and that's that you can't store it. So unlike fat, which, as we know, we have, unfortunately, an abundant ability to store, we have a limited capacity to store carbohydrate, but we can do it in our liver or muscles. But there's no way to sort of, like you say, you don't have a little protein pouch, or you don't just, you know, your biceps don't, yeah, I know. And you have to ingest it. And then after you've ingested it, the amino acids rise and you have to use them in that period. If you don't use them, every system from fish all the way up to mammals has evolved a way of pulling off nitrogen from protein. And if you're a fish, you make ammonia. If you're a bird, you make uric acid. If you're a mammal, you make urea and we pee it out. And then afterwards, what's left over, you can burn it. But then that's essentially the role of protein.
Or so, potentially store it as fat, I guess,
could,
too,
you could, too. You much. Could store it as carbs or you turn it into fat and store it. Yeah, no, exactly. So, you know, once your body, you realize your body has the inability to distinguish, then it's just protein that's coming in. And, you know, our requirements for that sit in the current recommendation, at least in Canada. I used to say and America, but that's recently changed. Mm-hmm. Is 0.8 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight per day.
Right, and I think this is really important. We've talked a lot about this, that this is what's called the RDA, really to prevent disease, essentially, or the minimum effective dose, rather than what we like to talk about on our channel for all things, kind of the optimal health.
Yeah.
Can we put it in perspective? Then, 0.8 grams per kilogram, so for the average 70 kilogram person, who most people aren't, but.
Yes.
What are we talking?
56 grams.
Yeah.
Okay, 56 grams. Okay, now 56 grams looks like what? Like if you had to put it into what's on my plate or.
So 100 grams serving of fish or 3.5 ounce serving of, sorry, of chicken has about 30 grams of protein. So so a decent sized chicken breast would almost have 56 grams of protein.
Yeah.
Well, according to the RDA.
Yeah.
If we thought that was enough.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Canada food
guide. Yeah. So I'd say the take home message is that we probably all would agree that the RDA is probably not enough. And that in order to optimize health for a whole bunch of different reasons, whether it's your age or metabolic condition or whatever, that you would probably say right out the gate, 1.2 to 1.6 is probably where we need to live.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you hit on it, and it's sort of a lost point.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, the analogy that I give that I think people have a much easier time understanding is that we establish the minimum amount of vitamin C to prevent scurvy. And that's awesome, right? But then we recognize that, you know, smokers need a little bit more. And if you got a little bit more, your immune function was improved. And so the people who were setting the guidelines said, oh, well, we're going to bump it up to here because we recognize that there are benefits. And it's exactly the same with the protein RDA. That's to offset deficiency in about 97% of the population. But is offsetting deficiency really what we're after?
Yeah.
Probably not. If we're going to optimize health, as you said, and you know, I've been beating this drum for 20, 30 plus years, it should be somewhere between 1.2 to 1.6 wow. grams per kilo. So, and everybody goes, well, most people eat that. And yeah, that's true. But at the same time, there are groups of people, older people, for example, people in sort of food insecure environments, people in hospitals, they're not hitting that, right? And this is where we're supposed to be sort of optimizing health and, you know, aging. Well, we're all there, right? Or we're getting there. And so I think that that's a big consideration.
Right. And I think the 40-year-old that's getting 2,500 or 2,700 calories, you know, a lot of the studies say, oh, it's all works out around 16%. That person's meeting it. But like you said, as you get older, your teeth are bad. You're lonely. You don't like to cook for yourself. Maybe you don't have enough money, whatever. And you're not getting enough calories. And often, I've heard you say in other videos too, your quality of food actually gets worse.
Yeah.
So not only are you eating less if you're not eating enough food, but you're eating worse food, like the whole tea and toast thing that we talk about in medicine a lot.
Yeah.
It's protein devoid.
Yep.
You can see it now too. Oh. The big business, big companies are starting to jump on that bandwagon, for better or for worse, I'm not going to judge, but you can see they're starting to say now they're adding protein to different, you know what I mean?
Like, I think for worse on
that. Processed foods. Like, junk food, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
You're starting to see companies say, oh yeah, well, we're gonna add protein to our junk food. That'll make it better.
Yeah.
I mean, I commend the-
It's better than what?
Realization that it's important, but then, you know, unfortunately, you're turning that into a marketing thing.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so like those protein bars and protein-
They're things, chocolate bars, right?
Come on. Yeah.
The chocolate bars have some protein. Like, come on. Just kidding. They taste like chocolate bars.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can agree that the RDA is probably too low and it probably should be in the 1.2 to 1.6. Do you think there's merit to A, breaking it up over your meals, and then B, specifically with respect to exercise, regardless of whether you're a bodybuilder or someone who works out in the gym two or three times a week and is trying to stay fit, do you think the timing of it before and after your workout is important?
Yeah, so there's probably a lot of arguments that, to be frank, even I've made, that I'm beginning to think are perhaps a little less important. So, you know, it used to be you do your exercise, and there was this post-exercise window. Yeah. When I first started in the area, this was really, was a really hot topic around, you know, getting carbohydrates back in, and it was driven a lot by studies done in rodents as, right, you know, an often used model. And then we began to get data from humans, and then it's sort of, you know, the protein was there as well. I think, you know, the real takeaway is that the big picture is try and get that protein within the day. The smaller sort of, you know, so that's the big volume knob. And then the fine tune is, yeah, probably there's a window, but is it critical? You know, I see a lot of people walk, mostly guys, I'll be honest, you know, with a shaker of protein at the gym. I'm like, probably don't need that.
Okay.
So yeah, it's not as big a deal.
So the resolution of that timing is more like on a day, measure in days as opposed to hours or minutes.
Yeah, so you know, instead of the post-exercise anabolic window, I have a good friend, Sean Arendt, who's at the University of South Carolina, and he calls it the post-exercise, you know, garage door, right?
Okay.
It gets open for a long time. Okay. So far less critical than we once thought.
Okay.
Any merit to taking something before? Because some influencers, you gotta, you know, what fat do I work out fasted? Yeah. Do I have protein right before? Like, again, I think I heard your analogy too, and I love it, that kind of the wringing out the towel, you get most of it just from actually going to the gym.
Yeah.
Your second one is just by eating enough protein, and then maybe that last little bit is specific to the timing.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think that these are, and I think a lot of social media influencer messages, when you get out there, instead of the big picture and sort of this is what you really need to do, it is this, you know, if you're going to the gym, first, that sets you apart from a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to the gym regularly, if you're eating the protein that you're getting, I mean, you really need to realize you're in a pretty small group of people, right?
Right. Already.
So, you know, if that last little, you know, squeeze of the cloth to get that last little bit of water, that's important to you, by all means.
Right.
But, you know, it's like, let's not put the cart before the horse and say, you know, that one time you go to the gym, if you eat pre-exercise, that's going to unlock, you know, and I'm like, no, it's in the margins.
Yeah.
Like a lot of messages you hear on social media, frankly.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big picture is, let's go to the gym. Let's do it consistently. Protein throughout the day, you're dialed in.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, where should I get my protein from? You know what I mean? There are different sources. We talked about those shakes. We talked about chocolate bars. We talked about whole foods, animal products, plant products.
Yeah.
What do you say?
So again, one of these, this is frustrating for people, I'm sure. One of the things I've changed my mind on, if you had asked me, you know, 30 years ago when I first started doing this and said plant protein versus animal protein, I'd have, you know, touted the party line. Oh, it's the animal protein is superior. It's got more of the essential amino acids, the ones that we need. It's much easier to digest. And in broad strokes, that's true.
Okay.
As time wears on, you know, sort of 20 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, I think that's still important. 10 years ago, I'd be like, oh, I don't know. And then more recently, we've done some work. I have a good friend named Luc Van Loon, who's over in the Netherlands, and his lab has probably set the standard for this. The difference between plant and animal proteins when it comes to physiology and the outcomes in the end, from a muscle perspective and everything, is very small. To the point where I doubt for most people it makes as big a difference as I once thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I've sort of softened my stance on that to the point where I'm like, as long as you're hitting the 1.2 to 1.6, plant sourced, animal sourced, you're doing fine.
Right? Okay, and so, personally, just if you don't mind me asking, what do you do? Are you plant-based? Are you animal? Are you omnivore?
Yeah. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool omnivore, but I'll acquiesce to the fact I probably eat a lot more plant protein now than I once did. Yeah,
okay,
for sure.
So eat both omnivore, meaning eat plant, eat animal, but you're sort of, as of late, leaning more towards plant.
Yeah, and there's a lot of reasons for that from a cardiovascular health standpoint, but also the realization, and again, I'm not an expert in this topic, but I have a lot of friends who talk about the environmental consequences.
Okay.
So, you know, we've got one planet. I want to leave it in good shape for my kids, so I get it.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
No, and I'd say that's the message. Ours is like, you know, eat whole foods.
Yeah.
Don't eat too much.
Yeah.
probably eat more plants. And then, and that's kind of simple. We don't prescribe certain diets. You know, if you're passionate about one specific really strict thing, fine. But that doesn't work for most people. But if your plate looks down, it looks like mostly real food and there are more plants than animal products, you're probably doing
okay. Back to that simple broad strokes message.
And I think it's just lost.
Real food
because it's
good.
Not exciting though.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
Like
I know.
If you do a 30-second reel on Instagram saying, hey, eat your broccoli and have a small piece of chicken, no one wants that.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that we don't move on too quickly and just address something that you brought up, Paul, which is basically that protein is now appearing in so many foods. And you know, I wrote a piece for a publication called The Conversation that came out earlier this year.
We'll link it in the description.
Yeah, how protein jumped the shark, quote unquote. You know, so for everybody who watched Happy Days. They get that reference. If you're too young, sorry. But you know, the point is, protein. There's no halo around protein. It's not like adding it to something. So protein Pop Tarts, protein, you know, insert food here is a good idea either. So I'm a big advocate of real food. You know, people say, why not a protein bar? I'm like, look, if you're in a pinch, go for a protein bar. But if you're regularly, you know, smashing a protein bar as your way of getting protein, I think that that has some room for improvement. And what it's done is added basically monetary cost to value-added products, all of which almost assuredly are ultra-processed. And if there's anything that I think we could all agree, you know, shop around the outside of the grocery store and try and avoid the middle aisle. So the ultra-processed foods, if there's something, that's the thing that we can all push back against.
There you go.
Love it.
So that's it. That's what a protein is, how your body uses it, how you can get it in your body, and how to watch out for some of the marketing of protein that may not be good for you.
Now you know, if you like this video, please like it, subscribe to our channel, and maybe send it to someone that has been sending you some mixed messages about protein.
And remember, you are in charge of your own health.
Thanks, Dr. Phillips, for joining us. That was awesome.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next time.